In the NBA, coming up tonight at 8:30 Eastern, Game 5 of the Western Conference Finals from Oklahoma City, with the Thunder and the San Antonio Spurs tied at 2 wins apiece.
Fox Sports Update on the Right Choice, KPRL, brought to you by Deeds Bar and Grill at the Paso Robles Golf Club. Great food, great view, great people. Prime Rib Monday, Taco Tuesday, specials on wine, and dinner specials Thursday through Saturday. Today in Farming on KPRL is brought to you by Paso Robles Glass, established in 1947, always up on the latest technology and training. They do windows right. Call Paso Robles Glass, 805-238-4014.
From the Ag Information Network, I'm Bob Larson with your agribusiness update. Well, sustainable agriculture advocates are concerned about the House Fiscal Year 2027 Ag Spending Bill, saying it could reduce support for conservation, climate resilience, and ag research. The House Appropriations Committee approved the measure in April, advancing legislation that would provide about $26.3 billion in discretionary funding for agriculture, rural development, and food safety, slightly below current spending levels. Republican lawmakers say the bill prioritizes farmers, ranchers, and rural communities while reducing federal spending. Americans continue to buy more meat despite rising grocery store prices. That's according to a new market intel analysis from the American Farm Bureau Federation ahead of Memorial Day. The report says meat sales reached $112 billion in 2025, with more than 98% of U.S. households purchasing meat for meals. USDA also forecasts that beef, pork, and chicken consumption will increase again in 2026. Record high beef prices are averaging $9.64 per pound. U.S. egg production rose 5% year over year in April as the number of layers also increased. In the USDA's monthly report, output totaled 8.92 billion eggs last month, up from 8.49 billion in April of last year. That included 7.65 billion table eggs and 1.27 billion hatchling eggs. U.S. egg layers on May 1st totaled 373 million, a 4% annual increase.
You've probably been told that to reach a millennial farmer, you have to go digital. Facebook, Vimeo, YouTube, Instagram, Pinterest, LinkedIn, an online publication, or maybe a podcast. But which one? Oh, and how receptive is this age group to your sales pitch during non-work social time? Maybe the best place to reach a farmer with a farming solution message is when they are, well, quite frankly, farming. You know, it's easy for us to find them during the day, as most farmers are behind the wheel of a pickup truck or farm equipment with the radio on, listening to this station for the Ag Information Network of the West News. If you'd like to deliver information about your terrific product or service, give us a call and we'll connect you directly with our community of loyal farmer listeners. Reach real farmers right here, right now, as they listen to what is important to their farm operation. They trust us, they'll trust you.
From the Ag Information Network, I'm Bob Larson with your agribusiness update.
Today in Farming on KPRL is brought to you by Paso Robles Glass, established in 1947, always up on the latest technology and training. They do windows right. Call Paso Robles Glass, 805-238-4014.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Stuart Varney, and this is the Fox Business Report.
The major averages are mixed in afternoon trading on AI optimism and as oil prices fall on Iran peace hopes. Among the 11 S&P 500 sectors, tech is the best performer as chip and memory stocks rally, led by Micron Technology. Its stock is surging over 16% and trading above a $1 trillion market capitalization for the first time, and on track to surpass Walmart as the 11th largest U.S. company. Energy and consumer staples are falling, and consumer confidence declined slightly this month as gas prices stayed high and inflation remained elevated. The Conference Board Consumer Confidence Index slipping in May, the first decline after 3 months of gains. And shares of BP are sliding 4% following news that its board has removed Chairman Albert Manifold due to unacceptable governance oversight and conduct issues. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
I'm alpine skier Michaela Schifrin. I've won the most World Cup ski races in history. But what does success mean to me? Success means discipline. It's teamwork. It's the drive and passion inside of us, and it's why Stifel is one of the fastest growing global wealth management firms in the country. If you're looking for success, surround yourself with the people who will get you there. If you're an advisor or investor, choose Stifel, where success meets success.
Stifel Nicolaus & Company Incorporated, member SIPC and NYSE.
Past performance is no indication of future results. Investing involves risk. Consult a financial advisor before making any investment decision.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
American Legends next on KPRL. Brought to you by Davis Body Shop.
There's more truth than fiction in the story of Tom Smith's Incredible Bread Machine. I'll be right back, and I'll be reading poetry.
Reagan, in his own voice, is brought to you by K-Brush Concrete, serving the entire Central Coast for more than a decade. Call Kevin at K-Brush Concrete, 423-4033.
Recently, I came across a slender volume that contains more good sense than nearly all the economic treatises of the last four decades. It's called The Incredible Bread Machine, authored by a group of young people at the Campus Studies Institute in San Diego. They have a sense of humor. They include this poem in their book. This is a legend of success and plunder, and a man, Tom Smith, who squelched world hunger. Now, Smith, an inventor, had specialized in toys, so people were surprised when they found that he, instead of making toys, was baking bread. The way to bake bread he'd conceived cost less than people could believe, and not just make it, this device could, in addition, wrap and slice. The price per loaf, one load or many, the minuscule sum of under a penny. Can you imagine what this meant? Can you comprehend the consequent? The first time yet the world well fed, and all because of Tom Smith's bread. A citation from the president for Smith's amazing bread. This and other honors, too, were heaped upon his head. But isn't it a wondrous thing how quickly fame has flown? Smith, the hero of today, tomorrow scarcely known. Yes, the fickle years passed by. Smith was a millionaire, but Smith himself was now forgot, though bread was everywhere. People asked from where it came, would very seldom know. They'd simply eat and ask, was it not always so? However, Smith cared not a bit, for millions ate his bread and everything is fine, thought he. I'm rich and they're fed. Everything was fine, he thought. He reckoned not with fate. Note the sequence of events, starting on the date on which the business tax went up. Then, to a slight extent, the price on every loaf rose, too, up to 1 full cent. What's going on? The public cried. He's guilty of pure plunder. He has no right to get so rich on other people's hunger. A prize cartoon depicted Smith with fat and drooping jowls, snatching bread from hungry babes indifferent to their howls. Well, since the public does come first, it couldn't be denied that in matters such as this, the public must decide. So antitrust now took a hand. Of course, it was appalled at what it found was going on. The bread trust, it was called. Now this was getting serious, so Smith felt that he must have a friendly interview with the men in antitrust. So hat in hand, he went to them. They'd surely been misled. No rule of law had he defied, but then their lawyer said, the rule of law in complex times has proved itself deficient. We much prefer the rule of men. It's vastly more efficient. Now, let me state the present rules, the lawyer then went on. Those very simple guidelines you can rely upon. You're gouging on your prices if you charge more than the rest, but it's unfair competition if you think you can charge less. A second point that we would make to help avoid confusion, don't try to charge the same amount. That would be collusion. You must compete, but not too much. For if you do, you see, then the market would be yours, and that's monopoly. Price too high or price too low? Now, which charge did they make? Well, they weren't loath to charging both, with public good at stake. In fact, they went but better. They charged monopoly. No muss, no fuss, oh woe is us, egad, they charged all three. 5 years in jail, the judge then said. You're lucky it's not worse. Robber barons must be taught society comes first. Now bread is baked by government, and as might be expected, everything is well controlled, the public well protected. True, loaves cost a dollar each, but our leaders do their best. The selling price is half a cent. Taxes pay the rest. This is Ronald Reagan. Thanks for listening.
Reagan, in his own voice, brought to you by Mills Construction, specializing in pre-engineered metal buildings. Call Aaron at 610-1256.
Protecting what matters on The Right Choice, AM 1230, KPRL, 99.3 FM with Barry Fisher. Advice and information on protecting what matters most in today's world. Brought to you by Adler Belmont Insurance Brokers and their new associate, Heather Bordan, serving the commercial insurance needs of businesses on the Central Coast.
It's Tuesday. It's 12:30. The bear is in the building. It's time for Protecting What Matters. PWM is the broadcast that helps you become better shoppers and buyers of services and products to protect various aspects of your life, health, and property. We also explore current events, our history, community, institutions, and local treasures that are notable and worth preserving. Today's guests are Jordan Cunningham, former state assembly member and president of the Slo County Lincoln Club. We're going to talk about California's jungle primary. Whose stupid idea was this? Local and state elections that impact San Luis Obispo County and the changing nature of political campaigns and Jordan's predictions for the 2026 primaries and beyond. Jordan, welcome back to Protecting What Matters.
Great to be here, Barry. Thank you.
Wonderful to have you. And then at 1 o'clock, we have Heather Moreno, San Luis Obispo County District 5 Supervisor. We're going to talk about California's growing structural budget deficit and the impact on the possible impacts on the proposed Slo County budget, the proposed state pension legislation, and how it will likely impact budgets at the local level, and a report on progress made or not on county priorities. What comes next? You can call in or text with questions, 805-238-5775, 238-KPRL. So, Jordan, did you have a good holiday weekend?
It was lovely.
How was your golf game yesterday?
It was terrible. A little family golf outing. We had a great time, and I did not play well.
You got to get a little closer to
the mic.
Pick up that mic a little bit there, if it'll stay up. Okay.
I'm not gonna tell you what my score was.
I wasn't gonna ask. Okay. You know, I stopped keeping score about the third hole.
That's the better way to play. It really is.
Personally, all right. Well, you know, you were there, and I believe you were in the assembly when the jungle primaries became. Became California law. Tell us about how this all happened and how they're working out for us.
Well, you can't blame me for that one. Oh, yeah. I got there years later.
I
ran in a jungle primary.
Oh.
It was enacted by the voters in Prop 14 in 2010. And it was actually Governor Schwarzenegger that was pushing it.
That's right.
And they needed 2/3 vote to get the budget passed. And they had holdouts from Republicans at the time. And Abel Maldonado, former assembly member from the Central Coast, cut a deal with the governor that if he voted for that budget, they would put Prop 14 on the ballot, and then the voters passed it in the next election. And we've had jungle primaries in California for everything but presidential elections since 2012.
And really, I mean, I looked at the governor's race. What were there, 48?
It seemed like 100 candidates.
Yeah.
Some of these people I had never even heard of.
And this has really helped the Democrats kind of... I mean, the theory behind this was we were going to get more moderate candidates. But it really hasn't worked out that way, has it?
I don't think it has overall worked out that way. And there's growing discontent with it, actually, from the parties on both sides. The Republicans, because they're losing ground under it. And the Democrats, because they're trying to consolidate power and trying to get the more... progressive member through. Mm-hmm. And so they view it unfavorably, especially this year. You've got this weird outcome. For a while, it was looking like the Democrats might be frozen out if Hilton and Bianco made the runoff. Mm-hmm. Based on polling now, that's not looking as likely. It's likely to be Becerra and Hilton.
Yeah, boy, that'll be fun. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. But it seems to me that between the jungle primaries and
and the all the redistricting that's happened since the 2000s and 2000, you know, to 2010, and then again in 2020, and now, well, and again,
Prop 50.
Yeah, and Prop 50. Again. I mean, it doesn't seem like the Republican Party has any ground under it anymore.
Well, I can tell you, it's tough being a Republican in Sacramento. Mm-hmm. You've really got to be strategic. You've got to make good relationships to get things done. I mean, it's, you know, being in a super minority is not that fun. Mm-mm. When I talked to my buddy Vince Fong, who's, you know, was the assembly district to our east from Bakersfield, he's now in Congress in the old Kevin McCarthy seat. He said, being in the majority is better in every possible way. He's having a lot more fun.
Is he at risk from this Prop 50 situation?
No, he actually got he had the most conservative seat in California, mm-hmm. and it got even more conservative.
Really?
Because the Democrats are trying to take out Valadao. So they gave a bunch of Republican votes to Vince in the Prop 50 map and to weaken Valadao. But I think Valadao, he has a long history of beating the odds. I think he may hold on.
Well, that'd be good. So, you know, just this is an aside. We didn't talk about this, but I mean, didn't I see something that is Prop 50 a done deal now? I mean, it's made it through the courts and we're stuck with it?
We are. It only affected congressional map, the congressional map, but that will be the map in place for 2028 and then 2030. And then supposedly the Democrats will let the Citizens Commission go back to drawing the map for 2032 and beyond.
Okay.
But, well, you know, we've heard that before.
Right.
Governor Newsom stands on principle and is all for citizens redistricting until he's not.
All right. So what do you make of the key primary election, right? Let's start with the local stuff here in San Luis Obispo County. What's your analysis of District 2 and District 4 races?
I think District 4 is going to be really, really tight. Okay. I think it's actually a Republican lean by registration district.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody can make a compelling argument that Paulding has voted his district well. He voted for a pay raise for himself. That's never popular. The county's got budget problems. That's never popular. Paulding has cast some votes that make him very vulnerable. And I think Adam Verdin's a very strong candidate. Small business owner. He's got a famous restaurant. He's a longstanding member of the community. And as nobody's really that well known until you run for office. That's just the reality of it. But, you know, Adam's starting a very good place. Mm-hmm. And I think if he, I don't see Paulding getting crossover Republican votes.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if Adam splits, consolidates the Republicans, turnout's relatively equal, and he can split the independent voters, Adam wins by, call it, 2 points.
And is Adam doing a pretty good job of working the district and getting out and seeing the voters?
I think so. I don't live down there, so you never can quite tell. From the outside, he's raising money, he's consolidated endorsements, he's doing all the things, and he's got a very good consultant. He's actually using my old consultant, who's best in the business. So I think Adam's running a good race.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just hard to beat incumbents. I mean, the one thing I'll give Paulding, he's a pretty good fundraiser.
Mm-hmm.
The guy can raise money.
Yeah.
So, but Adams, I think, matching him, and, we'll see how it shakes out. I mean, that race, Compton and Paulding, it was 60 votes one year, and it was 280 votes the next cycle.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that district's going to be razor thin.
It's all about voter turnout, though, really, for the Republicans.
Yeah.
It's always. Yeah. So, okay, what about District 2? That's,
it's going to be closer than I would have anticipated. Mm-hmm. I think you got the Tribune endorsement, which I think that's one district where that endorsement helps you.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't in the North County at all, but does probably on the coast. That's a very, very heavily Democrat district.
Is it?
It's D plus 20. By registration, and those are coastal Democrats. They don't cross over much. I mean, they're pretty reliable Democrat voters. So I think D'Antona wins. I think it's probably by 10 or more points.
Okay.
My prediction.
Yeah.
I mean, and he also has Gibson's endorsement.
Mm-hmm.
And he's working for him now, which is kind of odd. but he got a job from him too. Gibson maintains a pretty good level of popularity in his district. So
how does he do that?
He's very liberal, and there are a lot of liberals.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a simple explanation.
I had dinner last night with a couple of Cambria residents, and one was all about Woody because of the windmills, because that's his big claim to fame, the anti-windmill farm stuff.
Yeah, well, those aren't going up anytime soon.
I mean, the
administration put a moratorium on them.
Right. And then the other lean liberal and just can't bring herself not to vote for a Democrat.
And that right there, that latter person, is why I think D'Antona
is winning. Yeah, yeah. Yep. All right, let's talk about the governor's race here. You know, it's pretty interesting. What? Give me your high-level thoughts on this, you know?
I think Hilton is stronger than Bianco. He got Trump's endorsement, which I think effectively probably ended any prospect that the two of them make the runoff, just because it pushes votes to Hilton and away from the sheriff. I think Becerra has just sort of hung around this entire race and just kind of rose from the dead. I mean, he was at single digit in all the polling. Everybody jumped behind Swalwell. I never could understand that. I mean, the guy wasn't vetted very well at all. It was well known in political circles. He had all sorts of personal issue problems. And he got like the CTA endorsement, the SEIU endorsement. Everybody just starts jumping on the Swalwell bandwagon, which tells you that the Democratic establishment did not like the field. I mean, they didn't like the candidates they had at all. So they're willing to throw their weight, muscle, and money behind a dude that's been chilling out in Congress doing God knows what for 10 years.
Were you in the assembly with Becerra, or was he already out?
He was actually AG. He was appointed AG when I got there. In fact, my first hearing in the assembly was his confirmation hearing.
Yeah. I mean, I remember meeting
him. I did not vote
him
to confirm him, by the way, for the record.
he really seemed really fairly unimpressive.
He's a milquetoast politician.
Yeah.
He's just like, but, you know, that's kind of who tends to bubble up to the top when the field's so big and it's split so many ways and nobody wants Steyer. Steyer's burning $10 million a week on television to get himself to a ceiling of about 15, 16 points in the polls.
But he's tied right now with Hilton, and he's only a couple of points behind Becerra. And there was an article in the, what was it? It was the California Post by Joel Kotkin, who's kind of a moderate kind of guy. And he's
a pretty good commentator.
Yeah. And he was saying that Steyer is like a Mondami kind of guy.
He's left of left.
Yeah.
I mean, and he's trying to launder his hedge fund management where he invested in oil companies and he did all the stuff that the progressive left doesn't like by being the most lefty guy there is.
Right.
I mean, he's come out in favor of single payer health care, for example. Mm-hmm. Like Becerra and Katie Porter are like, nah, we're more for universal insurance. Thanks. I mean, single payer health care, by the way, would bankrupt the state of California instantly.
Mm-hmm.
Like just sell and move if that thing ever passes. You know, we're all going to be standing in line to see a doctor like you go to the DMV. I mean, no thanks, right?
Well, and
it's $400 billion cost. $400 billion. It's bigger than the entire state budget.
Well, so, and our state budget's really tenuous right now, I think.
Yeah, well, it always is. It's heavily reliant on income tax from high earners. But then our state policies drive out high earners. So it's always, you know, ebbing and flowing, and even when the economy does well, like, you get bad budget years in California because of the structure of it.
Yeah, well, I was watching Fox Business this morning, and they had Gary Sinise on, you know, the actor, and he's moved
Lieutenant Dan
has moved out to Tennessee now, and he said he just can't deal with the taxes.
Mark, I'll give you another actor. Mark Wahlberg lives Jeremy Renner lives in Reno, and Mark Wahlberg lives, I think, in Reno, too, and he's got like five. Wahlberg has like five kids. He's like, I don't want to raise kids in L.A. I'm just going to live in Nevada.
So I mean, I don't know where you're going to make some predictions, but I mean, I'm assuming that especially if Becerra wins, that all the usual suspects from the Democrat side will coalesce behind him, and Hilton doesn't have a great shot really at this. Or do you think he can peel off enough independent votes to make a good run at it?
I mean, this state, because of Los Angeles County and the Bay Area, it is so heavily Democratic. It's 20 plus points by Reg. I mean, Hilton would do well to get within 20. And I mean, 20% of 38 million people is a lot of voters. I mean, they're not all voters, but I mean, he's at a structural disadvantage of millions of votes.
Right.
So, I mean, I think if it's a D versus R, the D is going to walk away.
Right.
I
mean, right.
You know, Newsom got reelected with, by 20. And his favorables were 45% at the time, his last reelection. So that tells you something. I mean, there's just not, I would love to see it. And I think Hilton's a pretty good candidate. I think he's on the right issues, mm-hmm. Affordability, and look at what the Democratic ruling party has done to this place.
Well, and again, you have to ask yourself, okay, I understand why the Democrats, somebody who's a leftist, is going to vote Democrat or for, in that regard. But why can't we peel off more independents? I mean, is it a reflexive vote that they just can't vote for a Republican?
So if you dig deep into the data, there isn't one type of independent. There are a lot of left-leaning people that are registered no party preference.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some right-leaning people that are registered no party preference. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you start slicing it up, and the true independents, they often have a lean. And mm-hmm. in California, if you look at polling, mm-hmm. The independents lean heavily left overall. So, they're not like people that are going to go split ticket vote a ton.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you do have some of those people. But the other thing about running statewide in California is just so massive. I mean, LA is the second most expensive media market. Like, mm-hmm. if you're not buying television, doing digital advertising, doing really expensive things to get your message out there, a huge slice of the electorate just has no idea who you are.
Right.
Or they may know your name, but have no idea why you're running or what you stand for. Mm-hmm. And they're going to vote whatever party they typically vote for.
Well, I mean, so Hilton's been running pretty much a Fox News campaign. I mean, I don't know how much money he's raised. I'm sure he's doing better. But I mean, if and when he gets into the general election, he's going to have to raise how much? $200-$400 million to be able to be competitive?
I think at $50 million, he could
be
do it. I mean, Meg Whitman against Brown, mm-hmm. going back to 2010. I mean, she burned over $100 million.
Look how well she did.
She got closer than anybody had.
Yeah.
A long time, right? But the mm-hmm. state's only gotten more blue since.
Yes.
I mean, the problem we've got in California statewide mm-hmm. is our older retirees tend to move out.
Mm-hmm.
And they're replaced by younger voters that tend to be left.
What's wrong with me, anyway?
You live in the country, man.
I guess I'm not retired
you're
yet either.
The dream.
So
yeah,
anyway,
that's right.
Well, again, that's a whole other story. Real quickly, we got about 2 minutes left here. I think one of the most fascinating races is the LA mayor's race, and how Spencer Pratt has just wowed him with AI driven volunteers that are running their own ads. I mean, what do you think of that? As a guy who's been involved in politics, I mean, what do you think of that? Is that a game changer?
I think Pratt's running a remarkably interesting, cool race, and he is actually raising good money too.
Is he?
Believe it or not, he's outraised Bass so far, but he's doing he had a take on the Lego movie, where instead of everything is awesome, the big theme song, it's everything is mm-hmm. awful.
Right.
And he's got a little Lego character of Karen mm-hmm. Bass, who is, I should say, objectively a horrible mayor. Mm-hmm. I mean, she's just terrible.
God, yeah.
So, he's got an opening there. And, I think he makes top two in the polling. And mm-hmm. what he's been able to do is do these really creative, neat ads that people want to share and get all this free advertising mm-hmm. on shared social media ads. I've seen five of his ads on Twitter or mm-hmm. X, X now, right?
Yeah.
So, I didn't, he's not paying a dime to somebody who's just sharing it,
Yeah. Well,
friends that sent them to me. I mean, that's so that it's an interesting way to run. His problem is LA is a microcosm of the problem a Republican has in California. Mm-hmm. If they run statewide, LA is just so heavily Democratic.
Well, it certainly tests the theory of it may answer the question, when things really suck so bad, will they vote for somebody, saying the people vote for something other than a Democrat?
Well, and Pratt was a former Republican who changed to independent.
Mm-hmm.
Guess who else was a former Republican and changed to independent and got elected district attorney? Nathan Hochman.
Right.
So, he's the elected DA of Los Angeles.
Yes.
So, this soft on crime, let our streets deteriorate, have homeless tent encampments everywhere. I mean, it's just Angelinos may be tired of it. And then you've got the fires, mm-hmm. Burn down however many people's homes, and mm-hmm. they're never going to let those people rebuild, by the way.
Yeah.
They cannot make you real happy if you had a house in the Palisades.
And no.
The Coastal Commission's going to drag out 5 years of permits for you to lay a foundation.
It's ridiculous.
There's a lot of unhappy people down
there. Yeah, no kidding. All right, when we come back, we're going to ask Jordan about what he thinks about some national races and some predictions. And we also want to talk about the upcoming Lincoln Club event, a cruise in Morro Bay. So stand by.
usually a reviewer, but I had an amazing experience at Davis Body Shop. From start to finish, the experience was ideal. Everyone was friendly, helpful, and professional. They kept me updated, did quality work, and had me in and out. No hassles, and returned my vehicle to me in perfect condition.
If you ever have an accident and need to repair your car, you could do what Ann did from Paso Robles. She took her car to Davis Body Shop. And Peggy from Atascadero said,
our family needed repairs to one of our cars, and friends had recommended Davis Body Shop. We were very pleased with their helpfulness, their attention to detail that was provided to us. They explained the process and kept us updated as repairs were made. They also assisted us in securing a rental car. I would definitely recommend them to anyone who needs repairs to a car.
Davis Body Shop is the area's largest auto body collision specialist on El Camino Real at Atascadero and on Theater Drive at Paso Chevrolet.
Serving San Luis Obispo County for your weed abatement needs, your best bet is Ken Silva. From half acre to 25 acres, integrity, hard work, and quality service. Mowing accomplished with tractor and flail mower, which is cost-effective and more efficient. Clean it and cut it with Ken Silva. Free estimates. Call or text Ken Silva, 805-459-6011.
Mars Megastorage, your state-of-the-art storage solution on the Central Coast. Mars Megastorage can store your RV, boat, car, household, or commercial items in your own fully enclosed unit or covered storage space. Our on-site amenities include security cameras throughout, gate access from 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. with your own personal gate code, 17-foot high steel walls for extra security, fully paved, and a wash rack with professional pressure washer, buckets, brushes, and soap, as well as a dump station, all while providing our guests the highest quality of customer service. We encourage you to come see all the guest features we have to offer. At Mars Mega Storage, we strive to give you the best possible storage experience at the best possible price. Big or small, we store it all. Mars Mega Storage, 101 Wilsona Road in Paso Robles. Call us at 467-3200 or visit marsmega.com.
Welcome back to Protecting What Matters. We're visiting with Jordan Cunningham, former state assembly member and president of the Slo County Lincoln Club. Call in or text with questions, 805-238-5775, 238-KPRL. So let's now go to do your predictions, and we probably should write these down at this point. So, but Jordan, who do you think, let's start, go back in the same order. District 4.
I think Verdon wins by 2%.
All right. How about District 2?
I think D'Antona wins by 12%.
Okay. And who do you think's going into the general on the gubernatorial race?
I think it'll be Becerra and Steve Hilton.
Okay. And now Steve Hilton did something different. He kind of created a ticket, for down ballot. So for attorney on the Republican side, for for insurance commissioner Stacy, for
Gates for AG,
Gates for AG, and Wagner
Romero for LG,
okay,
Wagner for Secretary of State.
Do you think that helps any of these people?
Probably not. I mean, just because not enough people know about it,
right?
I mean, it and Wagner's going to make the runoff anyway.
Okay.
Gates is going to make the runoff anyway, and Stacy Korsgaard, our very own local, is going to make the runoff anyway for insurance commissioner.
That'd be great
because they're the only Republicans on the ballot for those races. So they're going to be fine.
Mm-hmm.
In a race where there's two Republicans for a down ticket statewide office, I think Hilton could give somebody a boost. But I haven't seen that much advertised about the golden ticket concept.
Mm-hmm.
So I just don't know that it's saturated. Maybe, I mean, I consume a lot of media, so I don't think I'm like in a bubble.
Right.
I do this for a living now, at least, and practice law. But
I think a lot of this goes back to this is just such a damn big state.
It is massive.
Yeah.
It's a massive state with tons of media markets, too. I mean, and it's really California is like it's an amalgamation of a bunch of different states that behave differently.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really hard to, you add it all up and it's pretty darn deep blue. That's our problem here with statewide office.
Well, I'm just going to say for myself, I mean, I don't listen to any of the local TV stations. I mean, unless I'm watching a football game, right, you know, yeah. or a sports game that's carried on this thing. I mean, it's either, you know, it's going to be one of the major, like Fox or whatever it is, and then I get everything else from reading. And to me, it seems like you're not going to really get much of the local stuff, you know, in California stuff, unless you're listening to a local TV station. I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, KSBY still does quite well.
Do they?
And there's a staggering number of people that are not named Barry and Jordan that come home and watch Jeopardy, Wheel of Fortune, and the Nightly News.
Wow.
And if you run for office, which I did, in Slo, you know, in a Slo County, my district was all Slo County, Northern Santa Barbara County, I bought a lot of KSBY for ads. Streaming is changing that, though. I mean, everything's, you know, you got to have 17 different streaming services to watch football or baseball nowadays. So so a lot of resources campaign-wise are being moved to digital. So you can get people watching television through an app that are streaming television. But KSBY still has quite far more people watch it than you think.
All right. And what do you think? Mayor, you think it's going to be Bass and Pratt?
It'll be Bass and Pratt in the runoff, and we'll see how that evolves. I would, if I'm forced to make a prediction, I sadly think Bass probably holds on.
All right.
But Pratt, it's kind of wide open, and people want change, and he's doing a creative thing, and he's doing much better than any Republican's done there since, Reardon?
Right.
Right?
Right, he was the last Republican governor.
I mean, it is an advantage in local office to not have. If you're a Republican or independent that was a Republican, like, you want to run for local office where your party isn't right next to your name, right? I mean, that does help him. It helps him in L.A. Like, a lot of voters may know his name. Oh, he's the change guy that's going to clean up the homeless problem.
Right.
And not know that he used to be a Republican. Bass's campaign will be telling everybody he's a Republican, right? So
that'll be her whole campaign.
Because she doesn't have a good record,
right? Right.
I mean, like, there's not one thing that's better about L.A. since she's been mayor. Like, not one.
Well, the only one that's worse than Karen Bass is Nithya Raman.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Mondami.
Well, yeah, that's right. Same person.
Okay.
Real quick, and we were talking before, because I want to get to the Lincoln Club stuff. We were talking during the break. The big thing to watch for the next general election, at least for us, is the voter ID that's going to be on the ballot, right?
Yeah, they've submitted signatures, so I think it's qualified. If they have valid signatures, it should be on the ballot, and that's going to be interesting. It could be a game changer. I mean, voter ID polls really well. I mean, even amongst registered Democrats, it's popular.
Right.
You would not know that talking to Democrat politicians. They all think it's racist and the
well,
end of the world.
Well, of course.
But you ask normal people, like, what do you think about having to show an ID to vote? So we make sure that the people are valid voters. They're fine with it. And Republicans love it.
Yeah.
Right? So...
And then, of course,
independents like it, and Democrats are fine with it.
It'll get passed, and then it'll get tied up in the courts for years.
But probably.
Yeah. All right, real quick, tell everybody about the Lincoln Club. You know, you're the president of the board this year. I'm happy to serve on the board with you.
Thank you.
I think it's an important group here in San Luis Obispo County, and we got a great event coming up on June 27th.
June 27th, the Lincoln Club is doing a sunset cruise event. We're chartering a boat out of Morro Bay. We're going to do... beverages and hors d'oeuvres on the boat. It'll be a good time. Seating is limited to the first 50 people. We're asking for $200, and you can reserve a seat at lincolnclubevents@gmail.com. That's an email address. lincolnclubevents@gmail.com. Should be a good time, and hopefully we will be clinking glasses and celebrating Adam Verdin
winning
the District 4 Supervisor.
Well, and again, this is going to be these tickets are going to go fast, I think.
Yeah,
so.
get on it, people.
All right. Jordan, thanks for coming in, and we'll talk again as we get into the next election cycle. It'll be fun.
Take care.
Folks, I'll be back on the other side of the break with Heather Moreno, so stand by.
us next Tuesday for Protect What Matters the Most with Barry Fisher. Send your questions and show topic ideas to barry@blazinbear.com. AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton. It's